If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 12 this morning. I'm going to start reading in verse 1, reading through 14. I'd like you to keep your Bibles open because we're going to go back to these verses and kind of examine them this morning. I've said it a couple of times, and I do believe it is true that one of the big problems we have in this age is we don't know our Bible, and we don't know our own history. I'm trying to get us to know our Bible a little bit. I did the history part not too many months ago, but we'll hit on that again. But nevertheless, Matthew chapter 12, it's important for us to know the Scripture. It's important to know because in knowing the Scripture, we know the heart of God. In knowing the heart of God, we know His intentions. And when we know His intentions, we know that His statutes, His ordinances are good. And He loves us. So, at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. And His disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto Him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day." And He said unto them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungered and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests." I think that's 2 Samuel, or 1 Samuel 12 or so in there. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice," you would not have condemned the guiltless. If you'd known this principle of God, you'd never said that. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. And when He was departed hence, He went into their synagogue, because it's on the Sabbath day, He's headed to the synagogue. They're headed towards worship. And when He was departed hence, He went to their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked Him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" That they might accuse Him. Notice how they frame that. Is it lawful to heal? Is it lawful to work on the Sabbath day? They consider that work. And He said unto them, "What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold of it and lift it out?" What will we call that? Common sense. "How much more then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore," listen, He's answering their question, "wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day." It's lawful to do good. It's lawful always to do good. "Then said He to the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other." Then verse 14. "Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against Him, how they might destroy Him." Heavenly Father, we ask You to be with us today. Recognizing, Father, that we need Your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all Your truth. And we want truth today. We want to understand what is happening here so that we can apply these things to our lives, that we might be a disciple that You're pleased with, that we might have impact, that we might be doing the Lord's will, not fighting against the Spirit of God. So Father, be with us today. Lord, even here today, even this morning, there might be that one who's struggling. Maybe there's all kinds of things happening in their life that are difficult, or obstacles, barriers that they face. Lord, break them down. Give them victory in Jesus' name. Father, maybe there are those here today who hearts are sorrowful. Lord, we think of Jim, his family, Sue, and the boys. We think of justice. We think of Ben, Michael, Patrick, the whole family, Lord, we ask you to hold them in your tender hands of mercies in these days. There's sorrow there. Touch their hearts. Give them enlightenment that their hearts be not sorrowful. Be with us now as we look at your scripture. Teach us from your word this morning that when we go from this place today, we might say, oh, it was good to be in your house, dear Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you that we met with you today. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Isn't verse 14 kind of a funny verse? You have this whole dueling theologies going on, but when Jesus healed the man with the withered hand, the Pharisees went out, it says in verse 14, and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. What's destroy him mean? Kill him. Yeah. Amazing. Well, Matthew chapter 12, 22 and 23 gives us another response to what Jesus did. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. So the ordinary people, when they saw what Jesus was doing, even as they embraced what he was teaching and doing, they said, he speaks like, man, this guy's got authority. This guy's got wisdom. Not like the scribes and the Pharisees. We like this guy. We want to hear more of what he has to say. So the ordinary people, they got it. You know why they got it? Because they didn't have all those religious trappings that were in their way, that were blinding him and causing roadblocks and all those kind of things. Matter of fact, as far as the Pharisees was concerned, most of those people would never see heaven anyway. So the ordinary people got it. And they were amazed. And they said, you know, is not this the son of David? Isn't this the Messiah? He's got to be the Messiah. Nobody can do these things except to be the Messiah. But the Pharisees' response was, this fellow doth cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Listen, Jesus showed mercy and tenderness to this man with the withered hand. Blind, dumb, demonic. And he's accused of being in league with the devil. And Jesus, of course, goes on to say, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. But let me take you back to that first verse now. It says that Jesus went out on the Sabbath day and they were walking through the corn, through the grain, probably barley. Matter of fact, there are scholarly works you can read about this particular instance. And there have been people who've actually figured out, because of what's taking place here in the Sabbath days and all those kind of things. You know what? They tell us it's March 29th. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And nobody says, no, that's not right. Everybody basically, March 29th. Well, it's only March the, what is it, 11th today? 9th? 8th? 6th? 4th? 3? Something. It's March. Listen. The Sabbath day. Day. Days exist because that's how long it takes the earth to move in full rotation. Every calendar in the world recognizes days. Months exist because that's how long it takes for the moon to wax and to wane. Years exist because that's how long it takes the earth to revolve around the sun. But how about weeks? A week doesn't correspond to any natural phenomena. You can't say, well, this is the waxing and waning of the moon or any of those kind of things. You can't. There's nothing there to point to. Yet every calendar recognizes days of the week. You know what the answer is why we have weeks? We have weeks because of Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, and made it holy. We have 7 day weeks because God instituted it. And all these critics and all these folks who just blaspheme all the time don't even recognize that they're setting forth the very principle of God established back there in Genesis. Oh my, on Judgment Day, what are they going to say? Well, there's no other explanation to explain that satisfies the recognition of this 7 day week process other than the teaching in the scripture. Biblical teaching always, though, collides with worldly thinking. It's a simple truth, but worldly thinking refuses to acknowledge God who is creator, and so they refuse to acknowledge God in all kinds of other ways. The era just keeps getting compounded larger and larger and larger, bigger and bigger and bigger. Just as Jesus claimed divinity, and it clashed with the Pharisees. And it clashed with the Pharisees because of their understanding of the law of God of all things. Because he was Messiah. Matthew chapter 12 again, verse 2 says, the disciples were walking through the field and the Pharisees were there and they said, look, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful upon the Sabbath day. So what were they basically saying? They were saying, basically, man, your disciples are breaking the law of the Sabbath. Don't they know anything? Why are you letting them do this, Rabbi? Actually, and they knew this as well, the law in Deuteronomy chapter 23, 35 allows people to glean in the fields. It doesn't make any difference what day it is. They cannot harvest from the field. Deuteronomy says, when thou comest unto the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou may pluck the ears with thy hands, but thou shalt not move a sickle into thy neighbor's standing corn. So if you're walking along and you're hungry, you can walk over there and you can grab some of that grain, some of that barley, some of that whatever it is, and you can pluck those grains off, and you can eat. Matter of fact, Luke tells us they rub their hands together and eat it. That's okay. That's okay. So you see, really, the issue was the Sabbath day. They thought, we've got him on the Sabbath day. They were doing this. Of course, Jesus says, you know, hey, my yoke is easy. And now he's going to show us what kind of heavy burdens these religious folks put upon other people's necks. They haven't changed a bit even to today. The Pharisees were saying, your disciples were reaping, thrashing, winnowing, and preparing food. I wonder how many people would have been walking along there that day would have thought of that. I don't think very many. But these pious phonies were all about making elaborate do's and don'ts. You know, it's always hard for us. It's easier to be a legalist. It's harder for us to walk in grace because grace applies to everybody. You see, I like grace to apply to me, but I don't know about Greg. So the rules that I don't want to apply to myself because of grace, I want to apply them to Greg because I don't know about Greg. Did you know on the Sabbath day, a man couldn't carry something in his right hand or his left, could not carry something across his chest or on his shoulders, but here's the grace of these people, but they could carry something on the back of their hand. You can't, hold like that. Well, I'm sure glad of that. So they could carry it on the back of your hand. Well, I was going to try to do this, but I'd have to have somebody help me bend down. You could put it on your foot and carry it. Oh, I forgot about this one because I think I can do this. You could carry it on your ear. Greg, we're out of luck. We could do it in our hair. You could put it in your shirt. But you couldn't carry it in your hands. It was forbidden, though, to tie a knot on the Sabbath day. So, you know, if you put the thing in your shirt, it might just slip right out and, you know, goodness, you're... So no knots on the Sabbath, except... Now listen, ladies, these are the Pharisees, this is not me. Got it? No knots on the Sabbath, except you ladies can go ahead and tie a knot in your girdle. So you could not tie a knot in a rope to raise a bucket of water. They wrote this down. That's how I know what they wrote it down. You could not tie a knot in a rope to lift up a bucket of water, but a woman could take her girdle and tie it to the rope to lift up the bucket out of the well. Yeah. Talk about nonsense. Nonsense. No wonder Jesus scolded these scoundrels. What are you people thinking about? This is not even good common sense. If you had a sheep in the ditch, you'd go over and pull it out. Nobody has to tell you to do that. It's common sense. But they're extremists, aren't they? Over in Matthew 23, verse 4. For they, the Pharisees, Jesus said, bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and lay them upon men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move with one of their fingers to help you. Wow. Again, Jesus says over in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yeah, I guess almost anything would be better than that, you know. Then Jesus makes two examples to refute what the Pharisees are talking about here when they're saying your guys are working on the Sabbath day. They went to the field, they harvested, they gleaned, they prepared food, and they did all this kind of stuff. And Jesus says, have you not read? Oh, I like that. Don't you wish you could have been there? Because I think these guys are standing someplace. I think Jesus went right over in their face and said, have you not read? I don't know that. Don't say the pastor said Jesus walked over, got in their face, said, have you not? I just kind of think that, I think that's what I do. So anyway, have you not read? And then he tells them about David and his men eating the showbread that was only for the priests. The priest made 12 loaves of bread, which represented the 12 tribes. They were at the tabernacle in Nob, which is not too far from Jerusalem. Look that up, Joy. And that's where this experience happened. They came in. David asked, can we eat something? Do you have anything to eat? And they said, we don't have anything to eat but the showbread. And the priest gave it to them. Oh, my. Must have been a Baptist. Gave them right to him. Here, go ahead. The second thing Jesus uses as an example, he said, now listen, don't you remember? The priests profane by working on the Sabbath day every day. This was the busiest day for a priest in the tabernacle or in the temple. All kinds of things to do. They had to prepare the bread. All that stuff had to be done every day. They had to clean and fix the laver, the water. They had to light the candles. If there were sacrifices to be made, they had to kill the sacrifice. They had to skin the sacrifice. All this, it was the thing. They were doing something all day long. Yet, why were they doing that? Because they were commanded by God to do that. So you have this idea the Pharisees had that you can't work, absolutely, you can't do nothing on the Sabbath day. Just go home and watch a football game. And don't be too pleased in it either. Or you could do what God said. Let me say this again, if I forget it. God's statutes and ordinances and commands are good. You may not like them, but they're good. Not only they're good, because God is good. But they're good for you. And then, of course, Jesus brings in another little verse from Hosea 6:6. He says, but if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You would have not condemned the guilty. Jesus is saying, you know, guys, if you even had an elementary understanding of the scripture, you would have never done what you did. Because the biggest and the boldest and the greatest thing in all God's word is his grace and his mercy towards you. And you don't understand it. You act like you've never read it. You see, mercy, friends, always trumps sacrifice. Sometimes, as I said last week, sometimes in mercy, there must be sacrifice. Jesus went all the way to the cross in grace and mercy for us with great suffering and great sacrifice to bring about the will and purpose of God. God never once forbid work on the Sabbath. What he forbid was us getting involved in activities that were that are work on the Sabbath day and neglecting the things of God. Matter of fact, it says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and I will make you fruitful. All kinds of verses like that. What's that say? Listen, if you do what I say, on the Sabbath day, rest, stop, cease your labors, concentrate on the spiritual, concentrate on me, I'll magnify what you lost on that day and increase your harvest. We talk about, you know, honor your father and your mother, which is a Ten Commandment. And of course it says that there's going to be a blessing there, that your life might be long. It's always that way, always that way. Never forget that God's commands, his ordinances, his statutes are good for you. And if you do them, you'll never, never think, I got shortchanged. Never. Nobody likes this one. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Giving is good for you. Huh. Well, you know, we know that. I don't know how many times, we buy our kids some Christmas presents or something like that. You know, they unwrap the $200 Game Boy or what's that thing? Switch? Clicks or something, I don't know, some kind of thing. And, you know, they pull that thing out of there and they throw the stuff aside and the little ones come over and play with the paper. You know? I don't care anything about the switch or the clicks or whatever it's called. GS47, whatever it is, I don't know. They don't care anything about that. Listen, giving is good. It makes our hearts merry. God looks at us in our worst and says, I don't condemn you. Sin separates us from God, and sinful thinking blinds us to the very mercy of God that's always before us. Some of you today got up, breathed a little bit of God's good air. He could have said, there's a small fee for that. No. Every day it's like that. You say sin separates us from God, and sinful thinking blinds us to the truth and the blessings of God. There's something called grace. There's something called chesed. There's something called this mercy of God that John Newton captured in probably the most famous, most marvelous hymn in all the world, Amazing Grace. He says, once I was blind, but now I can see. He wasn't physically blind. He was spiritually blind. He could not see what benefit it would be to serve the Lord. But he said, grace opened my eyes to the love of God and the blessings of God. And he left that slave ship and never returned to serve the common people of London. You see, work in the service of the Lord, ministry in the Lord's work and day doesn't have a day. You can do it every day, any day, always. The law itself allows for this, and the priest's ministry on the Sabbath day demonstrates that. That's what Jesus was saying. The grace of God was poured out on that cross. Jesus died for us on that cross. Jesus came sinless and paid the price for sinners. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus took it upon himself, the initiative. He died for us. He died for somebody as wretched as I am. Can't put it in words. Not only did he cancel the sin, he raised me up off the floor and said, hey, come with me. Let's do stuff together. I got stuff that you can do, and only you can do. What a mighty God we serve. Well, quickly, over in chapter 12 again, verses 9 and following, it says, But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Oh, excuse me, that's the wrong one. That's the wrong chapter. Verse 9. And when they were departed hence, he went to the synagogue. See, they were on their way to the synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him that question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? They asked him that question because they wanted to accuse him of something. Is it lawful to heal? Is it lawful to do good? You see, they couldn't phrase it that way. Because if they phrased it that way, guys like you and me would say, what's wrong with these people? I've never been to, Harvard University. I've never been to the seminary over there. But I know that that's good. It's always good to do good. So they couldn't say that. They had to say heal. God's commandments, statutes, and ordinances are always good. They're given to us to bless and to help and not to hinder. Matthew 6 says, but I say unto you, Jesus responds, that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Verse 8 says, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. So notice down there that Jesus did heal the man, and he did say, yes, it is lawful to do good. Over in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God. All these goofy people who say the Bible never says Jesus is God, they've never read it. because there actually are places that exactly says exactly that. Not just inferred, but it says it. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. John chapter 1 verse 3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You see, the second person of the Trinity is the active person of creation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. All creation, all that there is, moon, stars, earth, sea, animals, whatever. Who instituted the Sabbath? Adam was talking to God one day in the garden, right? And he said, you know, Lord, I think I get tired. I need some rest. No, God instituted the Sabbath. He rested on the Sabbath day. He called it holy. God did that. The Lord of the Sabbath has come, Jesus says, and all power, all authority was His to dispense with as He saw fit. The Sabbath day, if He wanted to, He could do anything He wanted to do. He was the Sabbath day. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Listen, the Lord of the Sabbath has come. And with His death and resurrection, He became the fulfillment of the Sabbath rest. The salvation we experience in Christ has made the old law of the Sabbath non-binding. I know there are lots of people, I bounce off of it every now and then, you know. They say something to me, you know, well, Pastor, you're supposed to be a Bible believer and all that kind of thing. Don't you keep the Sabbath day? Yeah, I do. I address the things of God. I understand that the Sabbath rule is much more than just a day. I understand that it's good to draw aside, worship the Lord, the things of God. But their Sabbath day was originally instituted to give man a rest from their labors. God wasn't tired. He instituted it for man. So by faith in Christ Jesus, He's come, the Lord of the Sabbath has come, to provide for us rest. Rest from our labors. Rest from our labors, our works to try to achieve salvation. Can you imagine all the people that are out in those world, in this world that we live in, working frantically all over the place, doing all kinds of things, trying to please God, trying to get these things done in such a way as God will be pleased with them by their works. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross satisfied God the Father, His holiness, and we can forever, forever cease to labor to obtain the grace of God because the grace of God is a gift. You can't do enough to do it. You can't balance the scales. You can't even tip it an inch, a millimeter. You can't do it. We're frantically doing that. You know, I remember, Pastor Kim, when I was in Osan, there's right outside the city of Osan at that particular time, it's probably still there, there was a giant Buddha. And so some of the guys on the base, other military guys, said, have you ever seen the Buddha? No, I hardly ever go down there, but okay. So I took pictures of all kinds of things. So I, where is it at? And so I got directions to it and I went there. And it was actually a beautiful day. And here's this big, huge statue, bigger than this building. And there are all kinds of people there doing all kinds of things, which I had no idea what they're doing. Bowing, scraping, doing all kinds of things. But I did notice they did something that was very odd to me. I saw some of them spit on the ground. Roll up a little dirt ball. A little mud ball. And threw it at the Buddha. Pop. I didn't know what that meant. I thought they were supposed to like the guy, not throw mud at him. You know, I didn't know. So I went back and I found somebody. And they were trying to tell me. And somebody said, I don't speak English well enough, but your houseboy does. So I asked him, I said, hey, how about this thing? I went to see the Buddha downtown and all this kind of stuff. And people were doing all kinds of things. But the thing that struck me was really funny was they spit on the dirt and they made a little mud ball and they threw it at the Buddha. He said, oh yeah. He said, that's their prayer. I said, what? He said, that's their prayer. He says, if it sticks, your prayer is answered. If it falls to the ground, it's not. All kinds of people all over the world spitting on the ground. Trying to satisfy some earthly, some human, some sinful man's idea of how you can please God. It does not please God. You can never please God by spitting on the dirt and making mud balls. You can't do it. You can never give enough money to buy the favor of God. Some people think you can. You can't do that either. You can work, work, work. You can be kind. You know, you can help little old ladies across the street. You can back up, you know, when you hit somebody in the crosswalk and say, oh, is it okay? You know, you can do all those things. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. You can't satisfy the righteousness of God. It's a gift. The writer here says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Why? Because that's what he said he'd do. And their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. He chooses to do that. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made, the first old. Now that which is decayeth and waxes old is already vanishing away. We have a new covenant. This thing here, starting out in Matthew, I got this new Bible. I don't even know if it says that. Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. I should have looked at that, shouldn't I? I'm trying to get there. Getting close. Oh, here we got Malachi. Okay. Uh-huh. My new Bible has it. What does it say? Tom, can you read that? You got good eyes? Thank you, brother.
Amen.
You see, this part is the Old Testament. This part is the Old Covenant. This part is the New Covenant. In the Old Covenant, God promised to make a New Covenant. In the Old Covenant, God said, I'm going to take out your heart of stone. I'm going to put a fleshly heart in you. I'm going to do surgery on you, and I'm going to make you new. So in the Old, it talks about the New. And the New expects us to know what the Old's talking about, not like the Pharisees, but in the exegesis of the Word of God, in light of the Word of God. And so we have a new covenant with God. We're not being held responsible for those particular ordinances in the Old Testament that talk about not eating pork or any of those kind of things. Aren't you glad? I guess you'd really be glad if you were Burger King or some of those people who are slathering on the bacon on everything. You know, the chicken tastes terrible. The hamburgers taste like cardboard. Put some bacon on it, Charlie. You know. I like shrimp. Old Testament said don't eat that kind of stuff. My little niece is allergic to oysters. You know, there are people who are allergic to all kinds of things. There are people who are allergic to peanuts. Can you imagine that? How do they function? You got peanut butter and all this and that. And they're allergic to peanuts. They're allergic to peanut butter. My little niece was allergic to oysters. How did she find that out? She went someplace and they ate raw oysters and it about killed her. Before she got home, her husband had to run her to the emergency room. She was having an allergic reaction to the... I'm so glad. Have you ever ate a raw oyster? Jim says, do you like them, Jim? You do? Okay, I'm glad. I've tried them. Tastes like snot to me. Fry it, okay. Put some breading on it, you know. But I like boiled shrimp. Matter of fact, I like boiled shrimp better than fried shrimp. Aren't you glad? Those things don't matter. The principles of the Word of God, the statutes and orders of the Word, the commandments of the Word of God, they're still good. God is still God. Don't bow down and worship false idols. There's no injunction against that in the New Testament. Don't take the Lord thy God's name in vain. That's still good. Number four, that's the Sabbath day thing. Don't neglect the things of God. Number five, what is number five? Oh, what was it, Del? Honor your father and mother. We need to go back and read the whole thing, don't we? God's going to reward you. You'll have long life in the land. Number six, what's number six? Don't murder, I think. Don't kill. Number seven, this one I don't like. No adultery. God just doesn't like that. I think it's good for you. You know? I heard something on the History Channel or something the other day that one of the things that Al Capone had was that he had VD. Yeah. Some of the irrational things that he did and stuff like that is because his mind was zonked out. It's good for you. Don't do these things. You know, I like the scripture that talks about, you know, the wife of your youth. I never knew what that meant till now. I'm 71 years old. Do you know that? I said this at a funeral the other day. August the 8th, 1948, my heart started beating. It's been beating ever since. Hadn't missed a beat that I know about. That doesn't mean I can, you know, promise tomorrow or even I might not get through this. And you might have to go home early, you know. That'd be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? Yeah, listen. These things are all blessings of God. But God created the Sabbath day for man. If we are driven by customs and rituals made by man, then the submission to the lordship of Christ in our approach to all things will be corrupted and we will fail to keep the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day, God rested. The resurrection day, the new day, the first day of the week. To Almighty God, this Sabbath, this salvation distinguishes all those who believe from those relying upon their own reasoning and good works. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Here's this benevolent, loving Father who wants to make you right again. Have fellowship with Him again. Be in right relationship to Him again. To be atoned, being brought together with Him again. It's a gift for anybody. Doesn't make any difference who you are. I think the film this morning talked about Mongolia. You know, I'm not sure exactly where that's at. Somewhere in China, isn't it? Or not really China, but Chinese want it to be, but I don't think the Mongolians want it. So anyway, it's over there somewhere like that. I've never been there. I don't know if I've ever met a Mongolian person. I have no idea. I'm sure glad that somebody's over there teaching them about Jesus, aren't you? I am. Everybody needs to hear. There's rest in Jesus. Stop your thrashing and crashing and doing all these things. I was going to say idiotic things. Things. And rest in Him. By faith, receive the gift of God. Father, it all comes together. Not a thing. Jesus said, not one jot or tittle shall pass away. All things make perfect sense if we understand the principles. If we substitute man's principles, nothing makes sense. So, Lord, I pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds and our eyes to the beauty that's in Christ Jesus, who is Lord of all, Lord of the Sabbath. He is God in the flesh. He came and paid the sin debt for us. We can be forgiven. Accept the gift. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.